Yeah! NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Thursday, May 2. May dos. And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to swing me some dollars and ducats for my pretty, pretty words. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, and I'm here giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today, breaking down and wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, only one game to cover off today, game two between the Nugs and Blazers, and it was an absolute weird one. So it's going to be fun to talk about with all the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, pantsing the evening, and better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we've always got Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and our back takeouts, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new great moments in NBA Straya stat history, where we look at a Kyrie Irving outing, which is awesome. Plus, there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for game three of Sixers Raptors, which is the only game tomorrow, which is awesome. And we're going to close out with the brand new Diary of Steven Adams as the big Kiwi Colossus lets us in on what's been going on in OKC since they got knocked out last week, which is going to be unreal. All right, man. Good episode. Fun episode. Let's get into it. It's NBA Straya episode 277. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Well, you better watch out for, flying arms if you're Tory Daniel Craig. Holy moly, did that dude get whomped in the bloody nose. Well, it ended up being a bloody nose. That was absolutely wild, wasn't it? Poor bugger. Oh, jeez. Copped in, Zach Collins' arm to the face and then sort of bounced off the leg of Monty Morris. Oh, Jesus, Tory. What are you doing, mate? Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right, with some news. Mark Stein tweeted out that the Suns are very, 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 very much focused on having Monty Williams, current Sixers assistant coach Monty Williams, as their next head coach, which is good. Because obviously they've just got to come in over the top of the Lakers and go, here's more money than the Lakers are offering, or else you'd go coach the Lakers. Way to go, Monty. Love it. Brian Spud Windhorse also tweeted out today, the NBA is rescinding the technical fouls given to Draymond Green and Nene last night. Now, we brought this up on yesterday's show that, of course, they should be rescinded because they were absolute bullshit. There we go. Draymond, that means he's back to three techs for the playoffs. Remember, you get suspended after your seventh. Nice. Other news, the Minnesota Timberwolves have hired, well, they are going to hire, apparently, Gersion Rosas as the franchise's president of basketball operations, which is very cool. I think Gersion Rosas is awesome. So that's a very smart move by the Timberwolves. Talk about that later. Knicks owner, James Jimmy Dolan, he's being apparently sued by MSG shareholders because apparently he focuses too much on his shitty band. What? This is an amazing story. That's right. Apparently the complaint pointed at how many times JD and the Straight Shot, aka the world's worst blues band, toured in 2017 alone. They apparently played in 41 US cities and 6 countries. And apparently recording a 7th album. I've got a couple of questions. What other fucking country in the world gives any sort of shit about JD and the Straight Shot? And 41 US cities. Get the fuck out of here. Now, this is all just JD in the Straight Shot. It's just Jimmy Dolan just glomming on to, like, his mate Irving Azoff and the Eagles, right? And just like, oh, we're going to open up for my other favorite band. Also, here's a bunch of money to these other guys to have us supporting, right? Because could you ask, like, literally everybody in the world and go, hey, everybody in the world, does anyone consider JD in the Straight Shot their favorite band? There's going to be literally zero people. Even James Dolan's going to be like, I kind of prefer the Eagles. Yeah. Holy shit. That's amazing. Anyway, I love the fact that he's getting sued. That is unreal. Who bought any of the first... How have they released 6 albums? after like 87 album sales of Jimmy Dolan, Jimmy Dolan selling it to family and friends, like, what point do you go, maybe we're not the best at this? Yeesh. Anyway, some other Knicks news. Carmelo Anthony was asked about returning to the Knicks next year, and he replied, "I have to see what's going on. Hook this to my veins. I want to see Carmelo Anthony back in MSG more than bloody anything." Some injury news. James Harden, after he got wanged in the eye by Draymond yesterday, apparently went straight to an eye doctor. An optometrist? Eye doctor? I don't know, man. After they landed in Houston, the team's optimistic he won't have any problems with his vision in Game 3. Apparently, his left eye has a contusion and cut inside his eyelid, but it's not a scratched cornea or anything, so he should be right. Nice one. All right, let's wrap up today's game, shall we? The West Semis, 2-3. Portland visit Denver for Game 2, and the Blazers come out blazing, mate. Yeah, that wasn't very good. Was it Stephen A. Smith? I don't like that one much at all.
What was that? What the hell was that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was pretty rough. But this was a bizarre game. Portland went at 97-90 with, like, not being able to rebound at all and giving up a bajillion, like, offensive rebounds to Denver. Unfortunately, Denver can't hit the side of a goddamn barn and lose the game at home. Absolutely wild. So one big question for each side in this series was always Portland. Can Dame and CJ destroy Jamal and Gary? Well, the flip side of that is Denver. Can their guards deliver consistently? Denver's guards are delivering consistently badly. If you're Gary the Dartsman Harris. Dame and CJ had a pretty rough shooting night tonight, but Jamal and Gary had an even worse one. So, yeah, that'll do it there, pal. I mean, what, 10 or 20? Oh, no, sorry. That's 37 field goal attempts for Dame and CJ for 13 makes. Jamal and Gary went for 10 of 38, so make of that what you will. Anyway, matchups to keep an eye on. Joker versus the Portland Bigs. That was a fun one today. Portland's Bigs won that handily. Dame and CJ versus Jamal and Gary, as mentioned. Dame and CJ come away winners in that one. And the key blokes, I mean, it's whoever ends up standing at center for the Blazers. That was Cantor today, and he was pretty good early, which was very handy, and they needed it. Wasn't that great late, but still. Couldn't get a bloody goddamn rebound either. And Nikola Jokic and Jam and Jamal. Look, Jamal had a rough one. And it's like the key blokes for Denver are always dudes like Will the Thrill and their bench dudes. And again, their bench was shit. So, all right, let's wrap up the game. Denver, they couldn't miss in game one. Couldn't hit a fucking shot in game two. Portland jumped out quick. They're up 5 after the first quarter. The Portland bench were moving the ball very nicely. Rodney Spud Hood was smashing threes. And then Torrey Craig was smashing his nose, as mentioned. Zach Collins contesting. It got a wang and then bashed it into Monty Morris's leg as he fell to the floor. There was fucking blood everywhere. It was nuts. Nugs were settling a lot, basically, for a lot of mid-rangers that were clanking. And then, look, they hit 4 threes early and then missed 11 straight. It was absolutely brutal. So they were 14 of 43 from the floor in the first half. Portland led 50 to 35. And the Boo Birds were out in Denver. It's game two at home. Yeah, you've had a rough half, but Jesus, you're still leading the series. What is that with fucking fans booing their team early on in series? We had it happen in the Philly series and against the Nets, and now we're seeing it against the goddamn Blazers from the Nugs fans. Absolutely wild. Denver came out on fire in the second half. Malik Beasley had a huge dunk. That was awesome. But Dame hit his first three of the game. CJ hit a mid-ranger, and just like that, it was pretty disheartening if you're a Nuggets fan. 4 minutes of shit going right for you, and then the lead was still 15 points. You're like, oh, man. Nuggets sort of pulled it back a little bit towards in the third, and but they just couldn't really get it below 8 for most of this sort of stretch, and it was a really, 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 really rough one for the Nuggets. Torrey Craig came back with a mask because he wanged his nose in training camp, so he actually had a mask already made. So he just went out the back, chucked it on, and came back out. What a tough bastard. It was nice to see the NBL getting some props as well on TNT. That was pretty cool. Defensive player, NBL Defensive Player of the Year, Torrey Craig. Don't forget, my third or fourth favorite Adelaide 36er of all time. Anyway, look, this was a fun sort of like arm wrestle in the third and fourth where there's a couple of great Plumlee blocks. Plum Dog Millionaire was out there doing stuff. It was awesome. But Rodney Spud Hood was also blocking shots, which was pretty wild. A key turning point was Nikola Jokic. Hello. He had 4 fouls and basically had to sit out the last 3 and a bit minutes in the third quarter and into the fourth. Pretty tough. Meanwhile, Zach Collins went absolutely bananas. He had 4 fouls but played pretty rough through it all. Jokic picked up his fifth foul in the fourth, and then had an amazing sort of sequence where he then blocked. Well, he had a huge contest and basically probably fouled Cantor, but it counted as a block. Got a dunk, got the lead down to 9, and it's like, oh, we're creeping back. They got it back to 6, and it's, CJ McCollum hit a runner. Joker took, you know, sort of started taking over a little bit, but then the Nugs just couldn't hit anything. They got every offensive rebound under the bloody sun. They out-rebounded them 24-5 in the fourth quarter. They had about 8 different chances to smash it. Well, they're only down 7, and they couldn't do it. Then Spud Hood hits a 3, an absolute dagger 3 with 2 minutes left. Put them back up 10, and the Blazers sort of cruised from there. Blazers shot 6 of 18 in the fourth quarter, which is rubbish, but the Nugs equaled that and then went a little bit worse, going 10 of 31. How is that? They had 13 more field goal attempts in the fourth quarter. That is absolutely bananas. There was a big foul call to Malik Beasley late as Dame went to the bucket. 43 seconds left, up 6. Dame missed a free throw, hit the next one to go up 7. And then there was a bit of a stoush. Enes Kanter ran straight into and smashed Torrey Craig in the head with a broken fucking face. Jamal Murray's like, oh, I'm going to fight you, you big Turkish prick. And Kanter's like, oh, fuck off, you little bastard. And unfortunately, turns out Nikola Jokic had pushed Kanter into Torrey Craig. Everyone sort of settled it all down, and that was kind of it. And look, Nuggets just couldn't do enough in the last minute to slow them down, couldn't hit shots, and ended up losing. So there you go, 97-90, Portland win. Wild game. Absolutely wild. I mean, the Nuggets, for their part, had 23 offensive rebounds. 23 offensive rebounds in one single NBA game. Jesus, you'd struggle to get 23 offensive rebounds across the first 3 or 4 games of a series. They had 13 more field goal attempts, as mentioned, in that fourth quarter. Absolutely fucking crazy. Absolutely crazy. Nuggets, you've got no one to blame but yourselves. You're out there playing fucking volleyball with the ball, and you couldn't put it back in. Every fucking, like, it seemed like every goddamn, like, time they went to the bucket, every little layup, it just either rolled out or just clanked a little bit wildly and rolled off the wrong side of the rim. So, yeah, 13 more field goal attempts, 23 offensive rebounds. They out-rebounded them very, very handily, 58-47, but just couldn't make it stick. I mean, they shot 35% for the game, 6 of 28 from 3. I mean, ugh, the starters shot 25 of 66 and 4 of 19 from 3 for the Nugs. I mean, Nikola Jokic goes 7 of 17 and Jam and Jamal goes 6 of 18. Yeah, that's some big culprits right there. 16 points, 14 rebounds and 7 assists for Joker. So he had a very good game, but he really didn't seem to get going until the second half. He had a pretty big third quarter again and then got that extra foul and just had to sit. And then was pretty good in the fourth. It looked like he was going to take over. He's going, oh, he's going to carry us home. And they just couldn't do it. It's like Nikola Jokic, he also looked a bit gassed there down the stretch too, which is a bit of a problem, considering he played 37 minutes. I mean, come on, Joker. I mean, I'm not one to point fingers, but Jesus, go for a run. Go for a jog, would you? Jam and Jamal Murray, as mentioned, 6 of 18 shooting for 15 points. Kobe! 2 of 8 from 3, 1 assist, 7 rebounds. Yeah, 1 assist is not very good for Jam and Jamal, especially when he was on one leg. He copped another big bump to a leg that he had a corky in already. So he was sort of limping around for the second half, and it was not good to see. And yeah, really hamstrung the Nugs having their second best player not being able to do shit. Paul Thrillsap, he only had 14 and 11. It's kind of one of those games where you're like, Paul, can you do better? We're paying you $30 million a year not to shoot 6 of 14 from the field, mate. We need you just to step up. And he had a couple of shots roll off the rim the wrong way. Just there were heartbreakers too. But 14 and 11 and 2 blocks, but you want to see him just go off a little bit more, don't you? The Dartsman Gary Harris had a rough one too. 12 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Yeah, 12 points on 12 shots is not great. 0 of 5 from downtown for the Dartsman. He wasn't so much the Dartsman as just like the spud thrower today. Malik Beasley, he was off the bench. Oh, I know. Torrey Daniel Craig, with his broken face, came back and still had 7 points and 4 rebounds. He was inspiring. The bench, as mentioned, Malik Beasley had 13 points. He was very, very good in this game. Only shot 4 of 10, and but it was 2 of 5 from 3, which isn't bad. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Kind of everywhere doing everything once Torrey Daniel Craig went out with that busted face. The bench, they shot 9 of 31, though, which isn't good. Plum Dog Millionaire, he was all right. 5 rebounds, 6 points, 1 assist, 2 blocks in only 12 minutes. But Monty Morris was a bit of a disappointment. 1 of 8 from the field for him. 0 of 3 from downtown. 6 assists, but yeah, still. And Will the Thrill Barton had an absolute shocker. one of six from the field. I mean, Will, come on, mate. 0 of 1 from downtown. 11 rebounds. That's pretty good. One assist, one turnover, minus two for the game. But Jesus, need more than 4 points from Will the Thrill Barton to win a game like this. And they did not get it. For the Blazers, I mean, they played a really weird game. It's not like they played incredibly well, but they somehow still won, which is one of those sort of indicators where you're like, huh, maybe the Blazers are really good then. I mean, Dame, as mentioned, he and CJ to combine for, what's that, 13 of 37 from the field. And to win, pretty bloody good. Even getting out-rebounded 58-47, shooting only 42%, they won. It's pretty great. So Dame ends up with 14 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 turnovers. CJ gets 20 points on 20 shots. 3-7 from downtown, though, but hit some big shots down the stretch that were big settlers for the Blazers. And Dame sort of was like, hey, cool, I don't have it tonight. CJ, you take care of it. And then a couple of big possessions, Dame just grabbed it and took it to the rack. Took some free throws as a result, very handily. Basically, their backcourt was like, oh, fuck, yeah, cool. Well, we'll just handle this. We'll settle this all down. We'll get some buckets. We'll get some points. We'll win the game. And they did. Enes Kanter, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 5 of 10 from the floor, 2 blocks. Also had some choice words for the Turkish government after the game, pointing out the fact that NBA Turkey, like the Turkish NBA account, basically retweeted, well, came up with their own highlights for the game, and the official NBA account had Enes ahead of Dame, Rodney, and Aminu, and behind CJ in like their list of like, oh, who did well today for the Blazers, and the NBA Turkey account just didn't have him on there, and then tweeted out, what a messed up country led by a hashtag Turkish dictator, at RTE Erdogan or whatever. Only Turkish player out here tonight, and the official NBA for Turkey is censoring me. They don't show Blazers games in Turkey. The government controls people. This is a problem. How can official NBA allow this? It's a good question, Enes. I'll tell you that much. It was pretty weird. But anyway, he battled manfully, even with a busted left shoulder. Good on him. Mo Harkless hurt his ankle very early on in this. He had only played 13 minutes, then rolled it pretty badly, but walked off under his own steam. But geez, it looked pretty bad, didn't it? 5 points, 4 rebounds for him. Chief Aminu was very good. 11 points, 10 rebounds, 3 of 9 from the field. And the bench, though, rocked up for the Blazers in a big way. Zachy Collins was awesome. 10 and 6. We'll talk about him later. The villain, Evan Turner. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists for him. And Seth the shit one Curry. 3 points, 1 of 3 from downtown. But it was Rodney Spud Hood after his game one of having 17 points. And I believe I said, man, you can't waste these Rodney Hood games. Well, he rocked up again today. 15 points, 5 of 11 from the field. 2 of 6 from downtown. And also came up with 3 blocks. It was absolutely wild scenes there. Absolutely wild scenes. So good job, Rodney Spud Hood. I'm pretty impressed. I mean, holy shit. Good on you. There you go. Blazers somehow win this. It's just like, you know, they had poise. They got up big. They were hitting their shots early. Sure, they didn't hit their shots late, but they had enough of a run to win it. So there you go. All tied up at 1-1. Blazers win back home court advantage over the Nuggets. And we have ourselves a series. How good is this? Nugs Blazers. Love it. What a great fun game that was today. Even though it was kind of like spud-worthy, you know, a lot of bricks. Just a weird, fun game. And that's what I sort of like. So, all right, let's look at the NBA Story Approved Performance of the night.
That's a knife.
Oh, I mean, this could go to CJ McCollum. Hit some big shots in the fourth quarter. Ends up with his 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists as well. And was very, very solid down the stretch. But come on, man. Rodney Hood. How good was Spud Hood? And you know that every single fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers is sitting there somewhere going, what the shit, Rodney? Where the fuck was this last year when we needed you in the goddamn finals, you dickhead? Brutal. Today, 15 points, 5 of 11 from the floor, as mentioned, 2 of 6 from downtown, 3 rebounds and 3 blocks. He just kept springing out of nowhere. And blocking shots did Rodney Spud Hood. Pretty fun. And honorable mention goes to Torrey Daniel Craig. Holy shit, mate. He made their first 3 since the 1-11 mark of the first quarter. They'd missed 11 straight. He had a busted face. He came on and smashed in a 3. He was everywhere doing awesome shit with a busted up noggin. Torrey Daniel Craig. Great job, mate. 20 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor, 1 of 2 from downtown, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 7 points. Legendary showing. A lot of blood came out of his head. Holy shit. It was pretty wild. But, you know, definitely an honourable mention for today. Old mate, no mates, though.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? I mean, obviously, anus, the penis canter in Turkey, but we already knew that. How about the referee slugging Nikola Jokic? Hello, the big Serbian with his fifth out foul. Basically what? Pretty early on in that fourth quarter as well. It was a bogus foul too. He kind of half reached around anus the penis canter and got booed heartily by the Nuggets faithful out there in Denver. And so he should have. The best part was the ref, having realized his mistake then, let a much more egregious foul from Jokic on Kanter on the very next play go. So that's pretty cool. So old mate, no mates, I'm going to actually give this to Isaiah Thomas. How fucking crazy is that? A one-legged Jamal Murray apparently is better than throwing Isaiah Thomas in there to see if he can get it going. Ah, how the mighty mouse has fallen. Isn't that brutal? Can't get out there. Your actual sort of scoring guard is limping around. He can barely run. He's got no legs under him. He can't hit a shot. Isaiah Thomas is like, put me in, coach. Put me in. And he's like, nah, fuck off. Too small, man. Tough. Tough stuff for Isaiah Thomas. What about Spud of the night today?
Spud of the night.
Will the Thrill Barton is Spud of the night. Didn't hit his first shot until the fourth quarter and took him three times on that one possession to do it as well. It was brutal. He went up. Oh, he missed the layup. He got the rebound. He missed it again. And then Plumdog Millionaire got the rebound, kicked it back out to him, and he finally hit a shot from the free throw line. But that was the only shot he hit all night. Ah, poor Will the Thrill. I love Will the Thrill. 17 minutes for Will. 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3. Oh, jeez. Just brutal. It's a game like that where you're like, well, that happens on the road. But you're at home. Jesus. And Monty Morris as well. 1 of 8 and 0 of 3 from 3 from him. So for the two of them to go a combined 2 of 14 and 0 of 4 from 3, yeah, that'll do it. And when you lose by 7, it's performances like that where they spud up the night that really cost your team a win in the playoffs, doesn't it? Panting of the night easily goes to the Blazers and their horrible rebounding. They got out-rebounded 24 to 5. That's right, 24 to 5 in the fourth quarter. That is absolutely remarkable. There was, I believe, 14 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter from the Nuggets versus 1 from the Trailblazers. So the Blazers then had 4 defensive rebounds. Absolutely crazy shit. 24 to 5. The problem is, the actual pants of the night goes to the Nuggets, grabbing 14 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter and only scoring 10 second chance points. 10! You had 14 offensive rebounds, 10 second chance points means you've scored 5 times. Ouch! That is a panting and a half, Denver. This is why we can't take you seriously. Jesus, brutal times. Brutal times in Nuggetsville, Colorado.
Lovely. Oh, lovely country though up there, I'll tell you what.
We went fucking play golf up in Breckenridge. That was sick. Went fly fishing. I went to a Rockies game in Denver. Had a busted up foot too, but anyway, it was pretty fun. All right. I love Colorado. Actually been there like 3 or 4 times. Anyway, better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
As long as everybody's at our house and not playing in the playoffs, because that's not where Lonzo Ball is. Because, I mean, the playoffs is the time where you're sitting at home scratching your balls, because it's ballin' season.
It's ballin' season!
That's right, better than Lonzo Ball for today is Zachy Cakes Collins. That's right, despite looking like a 34-year-old lesbian who just bought her first Subaru. Yeah, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist in only 17 minutes. He was absolutely awesome. On you, Zach. Amazing stuff. He grew up a bit today, you reckon? He was unreal. He shot 5 of 6 from the field too. And extensive research shows that Lonzo Ball has never shot 5 of 6 from the field in a playoff game. That's because he's never been in the playoffs. He's also never shot 5 of 6 in a game in his entire NBA career. The best he's managed is 4 of 4. And who's to say he wouldn't have missed the next 2? And he has also shot 7 of 8 in an NBA game, though, has Lonzo.
but that was cheating because he was playing Detroit. So remember, literally anything is better than Lonzo Ball at this point because he's sitting at home in Calabasas listening to his dad rant and rave about how he's never lost, but also trying to get back that $2 million that his dad lost to his dad's best mate. So tough one, tough one. All right, Yana, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, so yeah, now we're going to take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. All right, man. Number one, we mentioned this one yesterday. Should refs get fined for text or get rescinded? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, I think this is in our unpopular opinion of the day. And it sort of became a big thing once the actual text got rescinded on Nene and Draymond. And look, this is my thing. Refs shouldn't be out there giving fucking double texts willy-nilly for people looking at each other, because the consequence of the players then getting another fucking tech out of nowhere for something silly or something equally as fucking innocent, the punishment is way too fucking harsh just for a fucking ref who doesn't know how to handle conflict. I mean, look, Draymond and Nay literally looked at each other for a fucking poofteenth of a second. And goddamn, like, Ed Malloy runs over and goes, "That's a double tech. You can't look at each other. Stop looking at each other." Fuck off, Ed, you dickhead. You should definitely get fined for text to get rescinded because the NBA, your boss, is literally saying, "You did a bad job. Don't do that, you fucking moron." I mean, yes, the threat of ejection does make players cool off at the same time, but look, you're going to get dudes who get tossed from games and they only had one real technical foul, which is not fair. Which leads us to number two. Should double text not count against you getting tossed from a game until you get a third? Yeah, nah. Oh, yeah. I actually like this fucking idea. If a double tech didn't count against your total, if you're a part of a double tech initially until you get to three, you can still get two individual techs after that. But if you get a total of three, you're gone. So say you get a double tech first up, then you get a single tech because you did something stupid. You don't get tossed, but if you get a double tech again, you're fucking gone. I don't know why, like, this whole thing of, like, double techs just became a thing. It's like, oh, we need to cool them down. Just tell them to fucking chill out. Tell them to go over there. You don't have to give a double tech, you fucking idiots. Jesus. I mean, two individual techs, yeah, you get tossed again, but if you're part of a double tech, get another one, you're gone. I love it. All right, next up, even with his streak of 40 points per game over the last run of games, is the coward snake Kevin Durant still a massive B-word? Yes! Did you see this? He was out there after game two saying, "I love how we stayed poised. We were only able to do that because of what we went through in the first series." Kevin! You beat the Clippers! Their best player is Lou Williams! What the fuck are you doing? Chill the fuck out, you whinging girl's dick. Oh, just all the pressure that we went through in the first series. You've got five All-Stars on your team, Kevin. They've got Lou Williams and two rookies. What the fuck are you talking about? Oh, we only haven't able to have our poise because of where we went through and got in the first series. You dipshit. Go put on a backpack. Next up, is Gerson Rosas a good hire for the Wolves? Yeah, nah, yes! I love me some Gerson Rosas. When the Brooklyn Nets were going to replace Billy King, they looked at Gerson, and they obviously got Sean Marks instead, but they were two very, 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 very good candidates. I think Gerson Rosas is very, very good. Great international scout as well. I think he's going to be great for the Wolves. As long as Glenn Taylor, their meddling owner, doesn't hamstring him and make him do shit like not draft Steph Curry. Yeah, nice. He's also got to, you know, be out there and, like, you know, create a culture of accountability in that Wolves locker room, which has not been there for a very long time. And finally, going back to the reffing just really quickly, should Gary Harris have gotten a tech when he was carried on like a pork chop after a horrible no-call? Yeah, he probably would have. But look, this was a great move by the ref. They didn't give him a tech because Gary Harris, the dartsman, never does shit because he's cool as a cucumber up there at the darts line, about to throw it. He's very chill all the time. It was obviously an egregiously horrible no call as well. The replay showed it as like one of the worst calls you'll ever see. And it was pretty clear that the ref had a guilty conscience and didn't tech him up. So good stuff by that ref. He probably deserved it, but he didn't get it. Good job all round. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. I think the Blazers can make the finals. I don't know if that's unpopular, but holy shit. The way they played today, gritty, shitty, gross, bad basketball, but they still won. I mean, they also have like a top level that they get to where they're really fucking good. That kind of makes them the sort of team that could take a battered Warriors or Rockets team who have just played a 7-game semi-final series and smoke them out of nowhere in the Western Conference Finals, doesn't it? Just kind of feels like that. I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't know if that's unpopular. Just saying. And finally, it's Thursday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means. It's Bloomin' Onion Thursdays. No bugger back in Australia knows what the fuck these things are. But we've got a whole bunch of them here for you at Outback Takehouse. I think it's some sort of deep fried onion all sliced up into some weird looking shit. Only at Outback. And it goes great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, after a lackluster first round, we've got 3-1 all series because the NBA is rigging every single one of them and wants them all to go 7 games for ratings. Only at Outback. Sure. NBA Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. The NBA Australian Player Watch. We did not have any Australians in action today, which was pretty weird. No Big Simo, no Son of Bruce, no Bangers Baines, no Andy Bogut. But we do have Simo and Jonah in action tomorrow in Philly. So we'll keep an eye out for that. That's pretty good. Nice one. That was a very quick NBA Australian Player Watch. I'll tell you what. So let's do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, shall we?
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
All right, let's do a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Today's NBA Australia, never forget, is Aussie Kyrie Irving's playoff debut. That's right. Question, what city in the world has produced the most number one NBA draft picks? Answer, bloody Melbourne, mate. That's right. And one of them, noted great leader, flat earth enthusiast, and phone pal of LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, made his playoff debut for the Cleveland Cavaliers 4 years ago and tore Avery Bradley and the Celtics a new one, bigger than the old super pit over by Kalgoorlie. That's right. Look, sure, Uncle Drew is a dual citizen of the US and Australia, all thanks to his dad, Dredrick Irving, pulling him on for the Bullion Boomers back in the day. But you can't deny that 30 points in your playoff debut isn't as bad as badass as Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. Because for a man who seemingly doesn't believe in the concepts of horizons, curvature, mass, or gravity, while spending his working life shooting a globe in a parabolic arc, shooting 11 of 21 must have been particularly confusing, let alone going 5 of 9 from long range, including his bomb of a buzzer beater at the end of the first half. But still, that's what the Aussie-born ledge did. And Kyrie, he also nabbed 3 rebounds, handed off 2 assists, grabbed a steal and blocked a shot, all while presumably wandering around in a state of confusion while pondering astrophysics and how ships don't simply fall off the flat earth, planet Earth, apparently. If nothing else, we should commend his ability to multitask. Anyway, 30 points on a jaw-dropping shooting. 11-21, don't forget. Along with the almighty beatdown of the Boston Celtics? Not bloody bad for a playoff debut there, Aussie Kai. Just a shame he spent the last 2 years yelling at anyone who will listen about how good friends he and LeBron are and how much of an awesome leader he is while the rest of the Celtics locker room ignore him and pretend to look at their phones. Anyway, Aussie Kyrie, all we need you to do now is bounce from Team USA, strap on the green and gold, and back up Big Simo and Dally on the Boomers for Tokyo 2020, and we'll be set. On ya, Aussie Kyrie, for a great moment in NBA Australia stat history, 30 points in your playoff debut. Legendary stuff. All right, let's look at a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Nice one. It's actually Jingle and Joe Ingles. Now that it's the off-season, Jingle's got nothing better to do than jump on the old tweet machine and go hammer and tongs. So John Sampson tweeted out, if this tweet gets a like from Spidal Mitchell, I will get Joe Ingles' face tattooed on me. Love from Straya. That's from John Sampson. Joe Ingles retweeted that saying, hey, Spider Mitchell, like the below, please. Then had the finger pointing down emoji. John Sampson, if you're out there, I'm looking forward to you getting Joe Ingles' face tattooed on you, sir. That's going to be unreal. All right, let's look at some game. We'll do a game preview for tomorrow, shall we?
Game preview. Game preview.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How good is it only having one game per day?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Frees up a lot of the afternoon, I'll tell you that much. All right, Sixers hosting the Toronto Raptors tomorrow is the only game. Should be good. I think it's 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Time. The Sixers are 1-point underdogs at home against the Raptors, which is pretty bananas considering they just beat the Raptors in Toronto. Jesus. So I'm going to take the Sixers plus one. I mean, it's pretty brutal. It's just a bet that they're going to win. But still, look, I feel like the Raptors will come out very, very, very hardcore to open this game. And if the Sixers win, it's going to be because they sort of claw back into it. Joel Embiid gets going and they eventually cruise to a bit of a win. But yeah, I kind of like the Sixers in this. They just won game two. They're up 1-1. They know that they have to win game three to really put the hammer and tongs onto the old Raptors. But the Raptors are very good, don't forget. They do travel pretty handily as well, do the Raps. So it's a pretty, pretty tough one, but I'm going to go with the Sixers. And, I mean, the Sixers at home this year were 31-10. The Raps were 26-15 away. Pretty good. So, yeah, but I'll take the Sixers plus one, and it's going to be fun as hell to watch this game, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, pretty good. Just watch out for the more adjustments. I mean, what do you expect? More Gasol playing time, more Serge Ibaka. Ibaka's been shit, don't forget. I expect Embiid to be feeling a little bit better. Hopefully he's gotten over his case of the runs. He's had a couple of days, so you'd hope so, the big Cameroonian. And I'm looking forward to seeing Kawhi going out there and trying to slow down either Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butts, or Big Simo Ben Simmons. But I feel like the Sixers will just have enough for them and get another win it on the board in this series and win it their first game at home. So give me the Sixers plus one. Nice. It's going to be fun. And all right, that's it. Holy shit, we're back tomorrow. We're going to wrap up that game and do a big weekend preview as well, which should be really fun. Got a lot of good stuff coming up this weekend. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all that sort of good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games, you know that. Head over to NBAAustralia.com, and if you're going to buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first. Then hit the giant big Amazon button on the right-hand side and they kick us a couple of shekels in the back end. Come on, help us out. Papa needs some new shoes. Also, check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever Android app you use to listen to podcasts. If there's a rating, give us five, would ya? It helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's an absolute ball scorcher. That's right, your balls will be scorched by how good it is. I love that album. The t-shirt looks great. My vinyl is awesome. So, anyway. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we're going to finish up today's show with the Diary of Stephen Adams. Awesome. The big Kiwi Colossus. He's heading into his off-season in a very, very fun fashion. So have a listen to that. It's pretty funny. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later. So.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? Oh, it's Stephen Adams here, bro. You'll have to excuse me again, bro. I mean, since we lost last week, bro, to Portland, I haven't been to bed much, eh? It's all been one big mad Monday brew. But I figured I'd better write in my diary still anyway, seeing so I can't see straight brew. See you, Goose. Dear diary, it's me, Brew. Your Brew. Steven Adams, Brew. Ah, oh, but you knew that. I've had you with me all this time, eh, Brew? Oh, I'm sorry I used you as a beer cooster, Brew, and put 60 beers on you, eh, though? Hope you'll be alright, Brew. Oh, don't be mad at me, Brew. You're my Brew, Brew. Oh, okay, so this has been a wild week, eh? We got back from Portland, Brew, and got straight on the Terps, eh? Oh, that hasn't really stopped since, Brew. So, we've all sort of been sort of hanging around OKC, Brew, at a couple of bars and a couple of the fellas' places for extended mid-Monday. Oh, even I chucked on a barbie of mine with a new, fresh off-season hungy for everyone to get stuck into, Brew. The best bit, Brew, was when my friend Terrence, too. After a couple of brews, Brew, and a season full of bullying from our other friend, Little Russ, somehow my friend Terrence managed to trip and spill his corona all over Russ. And it was pretty funny, because, I mean, sure, Russ tried to fight him, Brew, but it was my house. So I was like, oh, nah, Bruce, no punch-ons here, eh? Only Kiwis related to me can fight at my house. My cousin Rongo and all my brothers and sisters, and that's it, Brew. So they had to settle down, or I'll bash him, so, oh, it's okay. It all worked out, dude. It's fine, Brew, it's fine. The other fun parts were us all making fun of Coach Bully. We're all like, oh, Billy, Brew, you're going to have a job tomorrow, Brew? And also, oh, Bully, now that the season's over, Brew, are you going to grow your hair out like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, Brew? That was a classic scene, Brew. So, but now it's winding down. A week straight on the Terps is about right, eh? I think my other friend Paul might be still passed out at the strippers that we went to, that we left him at. So, he'll be fine, though, I'm sure. But me, I'm picking my bags right now, Brew. Before I go back to NZ for a bit, I'm headed to Acapulco, Brew. So, that should be sweet as, I reckon. I hung out there for a bit, drink some sarsaparillas and catch some rays, eh? So, there you go. A fun end to the season with all my OKC Brews, and now my real off-season begins. Can't wait, Brew. So, anyway, I might also still text back my friend Enos. He looks like he's going okay there against the Nuggets, Brew. I think he hurt his shoulder, though, so I'll message him and tell him he's a pussy, eh? Fuck you, Enos. Ah, it's funny. Okay, so I'll write to you again next week when I'm on holiday, Brew. Okay, until then, cheers, yeah, love, Steven Adams, Brew.